Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to be a part of our broadcast. I'm over here trying to get used to my system again. Oh, Lord, I've been gone too long. Praise God. I think we did a show a couple of weeks ago, and then I went out of town, and then I'm back. So amazing things happening. You know, I only leave town when I'm going to do ministry or vacation, so I'm never just running rampant around the place, praise God. But I am out there doing things. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can give us a call on our prayer line at 888-642-4767, which I'd like to just start off with that if I could today and just tell you that there is a great opportunity for the ministry here, that we're going to have our prayer line pretty much almost 24/7, at least up till midnight. I have some volunteers that I met in Louisville. They're going to help me with this. And we're going to be able to direct the phone calls to these prayer warriors and really see God minister to people. If one thing that I've noticed over the airwaves on the internet, on the internet waves, if internet have waves, they would be called internet waves. And one thing I noticed is that there is a need for prayer. I have a couple of shows. June Hunt is one of them. Great, great woman of prayer. Great woman of just teaching the Word of God. And I have her on the air with us. I also have, I believe, Pastor Mike from Seattle. I'm forgetting his last name. Pastor Mike from Seattle. And I have Prayer America Live with David, Pastor David as well. Now, these guys, they're amazing. They do great work. Charles Mellott, he is also on the air on our counseling and prayer channel. And it's really up to how many new shows I place on there and how many new shows I can get out there on the air for them. But I have seen the stats for the counseling and prayer channel and people listen on the air, and they really want to hear a broadcast. They really want to see something happen. And most of all, there's need out there for prayer. I think prayer is a forgotten thing. Okay, I'm not going to start preaching right away. Give me about five or ten more minutes, I'll start preaching. But it's a needed thing. It's something that's forgotten. I've held several healing services here in the United States, and two-thirds of everybody in that service come up for prayer. Now, not all of them are for healings. Some of them are just for peace in their mind and their schoolwork, and they just want a blessing from God. And I've seen this in so many churches. In fact, I was in Louisville, and I prayed and prayed over so many people there, and we had a three-day conference, my first three-day conference of the year, and it was a three-day healing service. I just call them healing services, miracle services, whatever. We're just going to preach the Word of God, and God's going to touch the people. Praise God. And faith's going to be elevated and ignited. And I seen so many people come forward that needed prayer, that were just amazingly, amazingly just depleted with nothing in them. And I know the Word is preached there, and in all the churches that I've visited, I know the Word is preached. I know that the pastors do a good job of preaching the Word of God to him, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I know that, but it's just a worn out country that we're in right now in the United States. So we have to lock in. You know, I love the story of Gideon and the mighty men that he had, and not to go into the whole story completely, but if you looked at the ones that lapped the water, and you looked at like a dog, and you looked at the ones that took the water in and lapped it with their hands. There's some people that were exhausted that still could fight, that could still go out there and help in the battle. But God had to weed them out because they were exhausted. They didn't have one more battle in them. They thought they did, but they didn't. They were depleted. There was those that were separated from them early, and they were fearful and scared. The Word of God says they were fearful and scared, and there's many Christians like that, fearful and scared. But the ones that went into battle that God could help, move forward that God could use in that battle were the ones that were composed, that were full of faith, that were able to drink the water and look around while they're drinking, resting, and go into battle composed. God wants to come back to a composed church, a church that is not fearful or scared, a church that's not depleted and tired, but a church that is strong and believing in prayer. Now, I believe in prayer much. I believe in much prayer. And I'm excited because I've been praying God to do great things with this radio show and this television show. And we have Rev Media TV and we have Midwatch TV. If you can watch us at 7:30 on Tuesdays and Thursday nights at the Central Standard Time. And I was like, Lord, I really want to see. I really, really want to see miracles happen. And in this broadcasting, because it's a seed that I've been sowing. Praise God. We started from nothing, from a computer that I found at the church, took home with permission, of course. And don't be taking computers from home that you don't need to be taking that from the church to home. But ask permission. And then I took that computer, built this station. And today, I mean, from nothing, praise God that he can work with nothing, from nothing all the way to we have four channels broadcast, about to add a fifth channel in Spanish, and we are just moving forward. We're going to the NRB at the end of this month of February. We're going to be part of the National Religious Broadcasters interview team there. We're going to be interviewing authors, entertainers, musicians, producers, doctors, people that are doing things that just need a little bit of publicity. And I don't mind doing that because I take those shows and I make a really good show when I get back. Our first season of Midwatch TV was awesome. We had a lot of viewers. We had a lot of tweaking. We had to tweak a few things and make them things happen to make it sound better. And we're still tweaking. I really want to get the HD studio built. We're on DV right now, and there's some limitations to what we can do with the software that we have. So that's the goal for this 2014 is to be HD sometime during this year. It's going to cost us about $5,000, and that is money going to be well spent because we'll be using the same stuff in two studios. We'll be able to swap the studios and actually get two studios out of just purchasing the items for one. We're excited about that. And we're just moving forward. We have so many people we've interviewed last year. 2014 is going to be a stronger and better year. And I tell you why. I mean, we've had some great people last year. I mean, we had some names that we can throw out there that were just amazing, amazing names that we interviewed either at the ICRS, that's the International Christian Retail Show, or at the NRB, which is the National Religious Broadcasters. We go to both events every year. We pay our own way. We just go out there. We're sowing this seed. We're believing. And God is already giving us some of that seed back, and we're already harvesting that. Today, we have Reinhard Bonnke on the show. You heard it right. We have none other than the man of God that God has used completely around this world in all these continents, and especially in Africa, Mr. Reinhard Bonnke. He'll be with us on the second segment, so that's only 15 minutes away, and we're going to be able to have him on the air. I'm excited because you don't know how much I respect this man and love this man. He's done and did everything that I want to do. Now, I go on mission trips, and y'all know I pay my own way and get everything together, and I work with the natives and the locals. And the native missionary is my heart to push forward. And you know, I have all these banners hanging around in my studio of the conferences and crusades that I could bring back. I don't have all of them, but I have most of them. And this is small in comparison to what Brother Reinhard does. And I just go out there with the same faith and the same, fire to just reach the people and evangelize, whether it's healing or salvations or just an encouragement to them. I go out there and this man masses millions, even, I mean, close to even billion, if that. Touched by this man's ministry many years. Well, he's in Florida now, and he's doing some work here in the United States. We'll let him talk to you about it when he gets on the air, but I just wanted to plug it in there. Don't you go away. I want you to stay on the air with us. I want you to hear this. Reinhard Bonnke is on the air with us in 15 minutes, and it's a beautiful thing to even come out of my lips. Reinhard Bonnke on the air with us in just a few minutes. But those are the things that we're seeing already just walking in. This is the first year in 2014 is the first year that right off the bat I had a healing service the second week of January, and I've been asked to go back to that same church in Denham Springs, and I'm excited about that with Pastor Wells over there, and I'm just excited because I know there's a mission and a ministry when you go to the highways and the byways. Now, this isn't a church that you're going to be able to find or see anywhere off the side of the road. Praise God, no. Me and my sons, we drove from our hotel through this really, really, really crooked road all the way to about 15 minutes off the freeway into the woods and past all these other houses and all these other huge properties. And my son's like, are you sure there's a church out here? I'm like, I am absolutely sure. Don't you worry. We're going to find the church. And we found it. And we had a blessed time. But how many ministers would go out to that place? Not many. But God said, go to the highways and the byways. I tell that to everybody I preach to. And when I go all the way to Louisville, Kentucky, where, oh my goodness, it was freezing. It was below 7 degrees when I got off the plane. And they got me to my hotel. I had the heater on. I had to go to bed with like a couple of pairs of pants and shirts on and a couple of pairs of socks just to keep myself warm because the heater wasn't on when I got to my hotel. And it took forever. It took forever to get that thing warm enough to where I can take off a layer of clothing there. But I tell you, that was the coldest place I've been to. Now, I've been to India where it's the hottest places in March to be at. And any time between March and August is just plain suicide in the heat. I mean, you just don't want to do it. And I come from Texas, from Houston, one of the number one hottest city in the U.S. because of the humidity. And I can't handle India after March. It's just too hot. But those are the things that we do. But those are things that God is opening up by bringing. I just finished my second healing service in January. And now I have back on the interview. My first interview back is Mr. Reinhard Bonnke. So that's an amazing, amazing thing that God is doing. I'm just saying that there's a pace to this year already. You know, there's always a pace to something, whether a job, whether in life. There's things that change, and you just got to start recognizing those changes and that pace and start praying with it and going with it and letting God move it to where it needs to be. And I think, I really believe 2014 is going to be a big year, a banner year is what I hear from the Lord. 2014 will be a banner year. And it's interesting because we just signed our deal with Whitaker in a co-publishing agreement to co-publish books together under the name Banner and Rev Media Publishing. So God knows what he's doing, and we're just gonna follow him. We're just gonna believe. We're just gonna trust him, and we're just gonna just see the great things that God is doing on the air with us right now. I'm gonna go to a quick break, and as soon as I can find the music, we'll be right back in just a minute. Just hold your horses. We'll be back in just a minute. Just trying to get some things rolling here. I want to give a shout out to everyone that is listening on Facebook and Twitter and that are coming over and listening to the broadcast. I want to keep you excited about what God is doing. That if he can do it with me, he can do it with anybody. Amen. There is nothing impossible for God to do. Nothing impossible at all. We'll be right back.
With your license to parent, I'm Trace Embry. There's the common notion among many parenting experts today that when our kids enter their teen years, they deserve a longer leash in an attempt to prepare them for the tough decisions and temptations common to man. But what some of these experts aren't considering is that these temptations are common to man, adults. Our kids have the rest of their lives to be tempted by the world. Parents only have 18 years to train them in the ways of God and to help them acquire appetites for the wholesome and healthy things of life. Certainly there are areas where the leash should be longer, but parents need to be discerning and not made to feel guilty or over-controlling simply because they feel they're doing what Scripture commands them to do by not causing their little ones to stumble, exasperating them, or provoking them to anger.
Listen to archives of our half-hour weekly version of License to Parent with Trace Embry through our website. There's no charge, and you can sign up to receive our podcast via iTunes. Go to License to Parent.
Is internet addiction for real? New research suggests it is. In fact, scientists may have isolated a gene responsible for compulsive web use. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with details on why the internet can be addictive after this.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Do you know somebody who's online nonstop, like a child, a friend, or maybe even you? A new study suggests this compulsive behavior might actually be a sign of internet addiction, a condition that may be exacerbated by a single gene. Researchers studied problem web users and matched their DNA samples with people in a control group. They found a variation in a gene that activates the brain's reward system. That's the same receptor that puts out feel-good chemicals like dopamine when we eat, sleep, or smoke. The genetic variant was more prevalent in the internet-obsessed group, particularly among women. But don't just blame your genes. There is some willpower involved, too. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Blogger, conference speaker, and parenting expert, Trace Embry.
You've probably heard childcare experts say that parents should never discipline in anger. Unless you're a parent who can't control his anger, I question the merits of this philosophy. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says that when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. Kids are the same way. Being angry might just be God's way of getting parents to a place to carry out what their child needs most. Ephesians 4:26 says, "In your anger, do not sin." When Jesus took a whip and cleansed the temple, I get the impression he was pretty angry, yet he didn't sin. This is the kind of controlled anger our kids may actually benefit from. Without yelling or screaming, godly parents can, in controlled anger, exercise effective discipline on behalf of their kids. It's called righteous indignation.
Trace Embry has worked with teens and families for over 20 years. Get your parenting license back at licensetoparent.org.
Hallelujah.
Maryland motorists hated speed cameras so much they took it out on the cameras themselves. The government solution?
Okay. That program is not working for us. It wouldn't play a song a minute ago, and it started to just play a random song. Anyway, we're back. Okay, like I told you, I'm still getting used to getting all my gear back together, and I'm going to have to find a different playing device this year because I'm using my BlackBerry, but if you've looked at the BlackBerry sales out there and just what's happening, they sold their servers a few months back, I believe that's what I heard, and now in different countries, and then now they're really just kind of dismantling the company. So all those little BlackBerry's been faithful, but it's not going to do what I need for this year. In fact, I want to really upgrade the radio studio here on some things that we need and see how God is doing things. Anyway, you can email me, David@RevMediaNetwork.com. That's David@RevMediaNetwork.com. Let me know that you're listening. Let me know that you're part of this. I'm looking at this year, 2013, when we finished up and I looked at everything, I have to be honest, I was amazed by the things that God did with us and through our ministry and took care of my home, my family. And I didn't have to sell any real estate this year. Praise God. I think I had one little sell and not even much. I think it was just an apartment rental thing. I don't even remember what it was, but it was small. And I can look at that and I can say that God truly, truly provided this year. I'm always give God the credit when I get a sale anyway. But you know, the Word of God says, whatever you put your hand into, it's going to be blessed. If you put your hand into real estate, it's going to be blessed. And you work it every day, and God will bless your business that you're in. The Bible says that anything your hand touches is blessed. Now, when I look at the broadcasting and the radio, and I look at the publishing, I look at the missions that we do, and I have to say that it's blessed that our hands have been in it and we've been working it, and it has been a blessed time while we've been broadcasting and people have been touched. We've had several people give online this year, and to be honest, we haven't had many at all. And we had a few that did send something, and it was a blessing. No matter what it was, it blessed us. It encouraged us. You know, when you encourage someone, you lift up their faith. You lift up their goals. You let them know that they can do it, or they're in the right spot. So when we're starting to see people start to listen and broadcast, we have over 300-400 people that have registered just to watch Rev Media TV, so they can be interacting on the chat windows and stuff. And this is something that we don't advertise. If you work with me, you will find out I do not like to brag. I do not like to post numbers and digits and stuff. And those things are good to do, and I don't condemn anyone that does that. But I'd rather just let another person praise what we're doing. Praise God. In fact, I get emails all the time and phone calls saying how they are just blessed with Rev Media TV. And Rev Media Network, we've changed our servers last year around this time, and it was a transition for us. It cost us more funds, but we're able to log into our servers to do our entire broadcast instead of having to be on a computers and sending to a server. So it's a big difference. I don't want to get into all the technical things. I thought we were gonna lose audience, and I think we just did a little bit, but then we gained so much more than we lost. Sometimes you just have to trust that you're making the best decision for things, even when you don't know the results. I knew that what they had is what we needed, but I didn't want to change the way I did things because we were getting such great results already. So there are some things that helped make that decision, and I covered this last year, but just to give you a recap, we reached twice as many people than we did last year, and we're constantly reaching people that have cell phones and iPads and that are going through Winamp or Shoutcast, and they're able to pull our audio, and we're getting a stronger audience on the East Coast, and we weren't really strong on the East Coast, but now we are, and I really believe it's just because we made that change, because these people are listening from all different types of devices, because this company that we use, which is Shoutcast, constantly puts the stuff out there and constantly markets things, and it's a blessing. So I'm seeing the radio and broadcasting just move forward. I guess I'm just trying to tell you, my friends, you gotta just be encouraged in the things that you do and work it and see where you can change it and adapt it and move it. Things that worked 20 years ago aren't gonna work right now. We are in a digital age, and we have to be able to embrace that digital age and use it to move the gospel. And there's many things that you can do. I created my own job by building these 3-4 things and doing missionary trips, and God blessed through these through the publishing and the broadcasting that I can continue just to do what I do in faith by doing the radio shows and TV shows. And people always ask me, well, you're not getting paid to do this. Why are you doing this? Because I love to. I know God's called me to do it, and God is providing. It doesn't have to always add up on the sheet of paper. It does not have to add up there, but it does have to continue to be at peace in my heart, and I have to continually feel that God's calling me to do it, because I just trust Him. I trust that He has called me, and He is faithful. He continually brings me to where I have to be. I have to give a shout out to my friend Kathy at Whitaker, who helped set up this next appointment coming up. We're going to have what's called our Whitaker Tuesdays, and we're going to be getting almost every author that is able from Whitaker House, promoting their books, talking about their faith, 25 good minutes of a good show every Tuesday, and it's something that we just started, and we're excited about that. And of course, Mr. Reinhard Bonnke, one of the biggest catches of them all, is going to be on the show with us in about a minute or so. So we're gonna be on the air with him in a little bit. But join us every Tuesday and Thursday. It's going to be the live shows. We don't do the Monday through Friday anymore. We will hear some nice shows Monday through Friday at 11 and 2 o'clock. But at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays, is usually a live show, and we highlight some of the greatest ministers, some of the people just starting up. I don't stop, and just because your name ain't on the billboard, I don't interview you. No, I will take the time to spend time with you as well. I give everybody a shot that I feel that are doing this for the right reason, which is Jesus. And if you're here just to talk about your book, then we may not be the show for you. But if you want to talk about your faith and your love of the Lord and some things that you've been through that will help others, and then we talk about your book, I'll get you on the air. All right, we're going to try and go to my sound system one more time and see if it does the right thing while I get Mr. Reinhard Bonnke on the air with this. And prayingly, this thing is good. If not, I apologize and in advance.
Bill O'Reilly, in his book, The Culture Warrior, has documented how the secular progressives are out to destroy the moral traditions of America. He names names and shows where they get the money. What's needed today is for the pastors, priests, and leaders of the moral majority to unite and educate the grassroots of this nation to the danger the secular regressives pose to the future of our children. Uncle Sam wants you, God wants you, and our children need you. David's prayer in Psalm 69 is our prayer for the ACLU and their ilk. Let their habitation be desolate. Let no one dwell in their tents, for they persecute him whom you have struck. If you would like a free copy of David Barton's book on America's Christian heritage, write Church of the King, 7401 North Ware Road, McAllen, 78504. That's 7401 North Ware Road, McAllen, 78504.
Equipping you to parent from a biblical worldview, here is Trace Embry.
There used to be a saying in the 1980s and 90s that read, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Well, now our kids are playing with all those toys without us because we're too busy working so hard to pay for all of them. In the process, we've created a generation of young people who have worked little to get a lot. Stuff seems to be in abundance today, while contentment seems to be at an all-time low. Since we've created a generation of kids that are insatiable and narcissistic, you may want to consider making Junior fulfill some responsibilities and obligations before just carte blanche allowing him to enjoy certain rights and privileges, including the use of all those toys you've worked so hard to acquire. It will be a tremendous character-building experience for both parent and child.
Get biblical answers to the tough questions that you and your family deal with every day. Go to LicenseToParent.org. License to Parent with Trace Embry. Insight for today's culture.
Way back when, Sweden was the first country in Europe to issue paper banknotes, but now the government there is considering making cash illegal. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you how this would have a chilling effect on freedom in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy. It's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
In 1661, Sweden became Europe's first country to print cash, but today they've got a new plan to eliminate cash altogether. One of Sweden's countless bureaucracies recently issued a report suggesting the country outlaw cash at retail stores, of all things, to reduce robberies. But with that kind of thinking, what's next? Why not ban cars to reduce road accidents or food to eliminate tummy aches? Outlawing cash is a bad idea, mainly because it empowers bureaucrats to control how people spend their own money. Sweden likes to stay ahead of the curve, but this idea is a step in the wrong direction. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Trace Embry with Insight for Today's Culture.
Today's postmodern culture has helped deconstruct language and redefine terms.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We have a very special guest who I've been really just speaking to just a few minutes right now, but really talking about him the whole half hour. Mr. Reinhard Bonnke, how you doing, sir?
Very well. Thank you so much. I'm happy to have this opportunity.
Amen. Well, we're excited to have you. We have a lot of listeners that were excited and were tweeting and Facebooking to us, letting us know that they're going to be hearing the show. And brother, just tell us what's on your heart before we jump into the interview. What are you doing right now in the States? And then we'll jump into your book and stuff.
Yes. You know, primarily we are having our gospel crusades in Africa. When I say we, I speak of Christ for All Nations, the ministry. And God has blessed them in a way that is beyond what should I say, everything that has possibly ever happened before. Millions of people have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and I'm very happy about that. Now I'm living in the United States, and God spoke to me that He had sent me to America, not just for America to be the offering plate for Africa, but also for America's sake. This blew me out of the waters, and I started with a crusade in a small town in Florida with 14,000 people, and lo and behold, I had in every service 5,000 people. So and that really got me going for God. A few months later, we had a gospel crusade in the Amway Center in Orlando. And that huge center was filled with people. People got saved. It's unbelievable. And we are now preparing for Miami in July, for Greensboro, in North Carolina, in September, and in Long Island, New York, the Nassau Mausoleum, in November this year. And next year we will have 6 stadium crusades across the U.S. I always say I dug out the trumpets that brought down the walls of Jericho. And I have cleaned them up, I have repaired them, and now with all my might, I'm going to blow faith across America and the news, the wonderful news that America will be saved.
That is amazing. And I know that, I mean, you're a man of prayer. What do you see that is needed most in America? I know Jesus, but I mean, what is the prayer life not there, or is there something that 'cause I've been about several churches this year, and 2/3 of every church that I go to come up to their altars, and they just need a touch from God, like something amazing that they need. And I'm sure you're seeing that plenty of places where you go. But what do you see the biggest need is?
Well, the biggest need, I'm an evangelist, so I may be biased. prayer is also important. It all interacts. It all interacts. Without prayer, nothing goes. But I see the need for clear, crystal, clear gospel preaching. I call it the ABC of the gospel. There is so little of it. And no fisherman will throw out the net without pulling it in, at least expecting one fish. And in many, many churches, they preach and throw out the net and never pull it in. There is no altar call. I believe America will respond to the preaching of the powerful gospel in Jesus Christ, which is accompanied by signs and wonders.
That's amazing. That's what I've been telling people as well, that we just got to preach Jesus and believe in the cookie cutter faith that's out there. We need to just let God move in the service and change people's lives, that the sermons have to just reflect the Lord. Now, when you came to the United States, I know it was a decision that you had to ask God for a sign. Tell us about the God just stirring your heart and coming to the United States.
Yes, my ministry, my background is German. I'm an American citizen in the meantime. I love America. I lived in Frankfurt in Germany at that time. It's just over 10 years ago. And we had a big gospel crusade in Nigeria. And somebody had asked me, read it with me, to a pastor to be present at the opening of his big church, and then cut the ribbon, as it is customary there. And although I don't do these things, and I don't have time for that, but because he was such a dear friend, I said I will do it. So I went to Nigeria. I went one day too early, and I thought I have a full day just to pray. And something was very much on my heart. My team asked me to move to America for the sake of our film series, which we were doing at that time. We call it Full Flame, but it really is the heart of the message that burns in my spirit. The service for God and yield it to the Lord, and step by step how one can come into this a kind of ministry. And I said, I'm not just moving. I have never moved in my life just because I thought so. I need to hear from God. So I was in Lagos, and I was in the Lagos Sheraton, and I prayed the whole day. In the afternoon, I thought I had peace in my heart, but I still had no answer. And I said, Lord, I've never asked you for a sign for myself, but I'm asking you for a sign right now. If you want me to move to America, then do something in my ministry that I have never seen before. The next day, early in the morning, I traveled to Onitsha to that church opening, and there were 12,000 people present. And while I was preaching there, they brought in a casket with a man who had been dead for 3 days. The doctor had issued the death certificate. The mortician was there because he had embalmed him. The wife was there. Members of the family were there. And 12,000 witnesses were there. And while I preached and prayed, that man jumped out of the coffin. It shook that place. It shook that tent. I have never seen anything like it, because this miracle was so well documented. We have all the documents that there is. Afterwards, you know, the man who was raised from the dead went back to the doctor who issued his death certificate, who shook his head and said, well, I can't explain. I don't know. The mortician was a real heathen. You know, an animist. He became saved, gloriously saved. Today, him and his whole house served the Lord. And I heard that he is an evangelist, by the way. So thousands of people got saved because of this glorious testimony. The name of the man who was raised from the dead is Daniel Ekichukwu. Well, to connect it now with America, when I saw that, when that man jumped out of the coffin, I jumped to the telephone and called my wife in Frankfurt. It was the 2nd of December. I said, honey, this year we will be in America. And then, you know, that was in the year 2001. So there is already some time passed. But it is a real proven miracle, time-proven miracle. And I can see now the connection. What God did in Africa, in the last 10 years, we had 55 million people complete a decision card in our face-to-face meetings in Nigeria. And this miracle of Daniel jumping out of the coffin, I feel is the miracle that brings promise to America that God is going to do something here. And no matter how people talk about negative things, I have seen him turn the tables. I have seen him shake whole nations that I thought had rejected the gospel and extracted people and saved them and put them into his arms. I really feel in my heart that the Lord will do the same with America. And as I said to some other people, I have seen God do it once. God do it once. And that has given me incurable faith for America. And I don't want to be cured.
That's amazing, because the years that you've preached and you've been into several countries and where they didn't know the gospel, and even some of them, and the impact that you had, how much more impact can you have in a country who was birthed from the gospel, and that yes. it's in their hearts? So when I go to Kenya and I go minister there, and the people that I minister to are mostly the backslidden. I'm not bringing the gospel to them for the first time. They're just walking in their other way, and they come and they get saved at the conference, which is great. But in America, this is a place that the word of God was preached in every city, every town knew the Lord. So now we're in a generation where it's the people aren't taking it as they used to take it, and it comes back to what you said at the beginning of the show. They need clear gospel. They need clear Christian gospel.
Yes. But, you know, the young generation here in America knows very little about the Bible. There have been statistics that a huge percentage of families don't even have a Bible in their homes.
Wow.
And the children grow up like that. They don't know the most elementary things of the Holy Word of God, of the Bible. So I believe with all of my heart that we have a message for the young people. They are responding. They are responding in Jesus' name. I'm not a young man. I'm 73 years old, but I'm on Facebook, you know, and I have got over 4 million followers on Facebook. I write every day the Word of God on Facebook, and it goes right across the world. And you know what Facebook tells me? Facebook tells me that over 80% of my followers on Facebook are 24 years old and younger. There is hunger for among the young people. And I believe we communicate when we preach the gospel, break the bread of life into small pieces that they don't choke, but that they can eat them.
You know, that is so true. That is so true. When I go and preach at some churches, the churches that are younger really respond to my stories and my scriptures and how I present it. And it's the younger people. They're just taught a different way, and you got to reach them. But there is a hunger. I mean, I can look at it with at my son's schools. They're all in high school and in middle school, and I can see that they're kids that go through stuff. They ask them to pray for them because they don't know how to pray, and it's amazing to see how it's just missed. Families and stuff that need the Lord and stuff. Tell us about your book, Raised from the Dead. What should readers expect when they get the book?
That book is unbelievable because it comes together with a DVD documentary. Somebody had a camera there, and this is so very well documented. So many investigative journalists have tried to tear it to pieces. Nobody has managed. Many of them left with tears in their eyes. It is so authentic. It's real. And that is the reason I've never written about it before. Never, ever written. I always felt I should just wait another year and another year and another year. But now it is here. I'm telling the story of the connection between myself, Africa, and America, why I have faith for America, that in our gospel crusades, from stadium to stadium and from state to state, and from coast to coast, Jesus will save very large numbers of people. And then also the actual story, how it all happened. It's a hair raiser. It gives all the glory to God. I take no credit at all. It's Jesus from beginning till end.
Amen. I'm looking at the book right now, and I see a picture of Daniel in his coffin, and that's eerie looking in itself. That's amazing.
Yes.
He's all dressed out. I mean, he was ready, prepared to get buried. Correct? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. The family was not in favor of his wife bringing him to the meeting, but it was his wife that had the faith. She said, I've seen a poster in the city. Reinhard Bonnke is in town. He is an anointed man of God. And she said, that's what she said, if I can only bring the coffin somehow close to him, I believe my husband will live. Because Hebrews 11 says that by faith, women got their dead husbands back. And so she dug in her high heels and hired an ambulance and brought the corpse to the cathedral and insisted that it had to be taken inside. And this is what God has done. Every page is will grip you. It is very well written, and it will bless anyone and give us faith that faith for our own problems, our own needs, and it's on available, of course, on the internet, www.reinhardbonnke.com. I can only say it's dynamite.
Amen. Well, it's an amazing testimony. I've read the book and I loved it. Whitaker sent me a copy over the holidays, and it was my book, my go-to book, just to read before I went to go preach on faith. It encouraged me. And Brother Reinhard, I got to tell you, I love the Full Flame series. Oh my gosh. I love it. You know, you taught me something so much. So you taught me well through the whole thing, but one thing that really captivated me on the Full Flame was when you said, what you preach is what you get. If you preach on faith, you get faith. You preach on finances, you get finance. You preach on healings, you get healings. And
yes.
That shaped my ministry. You really shaped my ministry from that day. And I'm actually writing a book called Igniter of Faith, and just about how to ignite the air for people to have miracles. And Whitaker actually picked it up as well. So,
blessed to hear that. I'm so blessed to hear that.
So you're encouraging
me. God bless you, dear brother.
And I tell you, a lot of young people listen to our show as well. So we got about 4 or 5 minutes left. If you just want to talk to them, they have their cell phones out right now. They have their iPads out. They have their mobile devices, and they're listening to the broadcast on these servers that we have, and they can pull them from anywhere in the world. And what message do you have for those young people?
Well, I would say that just a second. I want to say that when people who forever seek the will of God are overrun by those who do the will of God. I say that again. Those who forever seek the will of God are overrun by those who do the will of God. God looks for people who do the will of God, who get going and not just keep learning. We are not learning forever. We learn for a purpose. And when we have passed the exam, we should do what we have learned. And Jesus will be with us for sure. You know, Jesus gave us one promise. It is totally unsolicited. It is totally unilateral. How shall I put it? He said, I am with you always. There's no condition. He doesn't say, I'm with you always if you are doing well. He says, I am with you always, even if you are downhearted, even if you are despaired. I am with you. And that means that he will never leave you. You never need to ask Jesus to please come, because he never leaves you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? This changed my life. It also changed my ministry. I used to pray half of my life, Lord Jesus, please come into this meeting. Please come into this meeting. And then one day I woke up. I said, what? He is with me always. Only somebody not right in his head will plead with someone to please come who's never left.
Amen.
You see, so Jesus said, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Throw yourself into the arms of Jesus, and he will be with you and do what you cannot do. That is my word to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. What a perfect way to end the show. And I tell you, if you didn't feel God's anointing touching you, you need to pray harder, because I felt the anointing of God just going through you, brother. And I've read those scriptures many times, but when you say it, I can feel it. I can just feel the Lord talking through you. And it's a pleasure to have you on today's show. And I thank you for making the time, my brother.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Till next time.
Okay. God bless. And we'll talk to you in a little bit about the Skype. All right. God bless.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Amen. That was just an amazing, amazing, amazing broadcast. And oh my goodness. Where do you go from here? this is like the premier of the cream of the crop, the premier evangelist of our time, Reinhard Bonnke. And amazingly spending the time with us to talk. And I wrote down a few notes there. If you didn't catch it, he said, those that forever, ever seek the will of God are run over by those that do the will of God. Think about that. Think about that. That's an amazing, amazing testimony, amazing, amazing minutes with him here, and to have him for just the time that we had. I pray that you were encouraged. I encourage you to get Raised from the Dead from Reinhard Bonnke, The Miracle That Brings Promise to America. You can get this anywhere books are sold. Any bookstore, you can go online to ReinhardBonnke.com. You can get that from his website. You can get it anywhere on the internet, Amazon, Barnes Noble, wherever books are sold. You can pick up this book, Raised from the Dead, by Reinhard Bonnke himself. Talks about how he made the decision to come here and how a special miracle happened that he'd never seen before in his life. A man being raised from the dead 3 days in his burial suit. The picture's in the book. Also comes with a complimentary DVD that you can see the footage and the testimony of this man's life. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to pick up the book wherever books are sold. Go to your bookstore, tell them you want it in stock, and you want to buy multiple copies that you can hand out to those that are around you. Write me, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can call me at 888-642-4767. Anytime you need prayer, we're going to have that prayer line running pretty soon. Almost 24/7 up to 12 o'clock right now, and you're going to be able to talk to some anointed people. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you. I want to thank my guest, Reinhard Bonnke, for setting the tone for Midwatch this year. Oh my, who are we going to have next? God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. We love you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.